I think I probably would be top three things I would pick is to talk to you about. So, and also we're going to do some ministry at the end, and we got some people going to bless that the Lord is making new pathways for and opening new doors and seasons in their life. And so we're going to do that as well. But to give you just a scripture to turn, while you're turning there, I want you to go to the Luke 24, and that's the Emmaus Road illustration there with the two disciples who encountered Jesus unknowingly. And if you'll find that passage and get there, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of incidences, impactful instances in my life, one in 1955, I was 5 years old, one in 1998, when I was, is my math right, 48, and we're going to do that. I want to talk about seeing with your heart. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say this or talk about it, but I've spent a lifetime trying to learn how to see with my heart instead of my eyes. And it's a difficult thing because we're so visually focused. I'm a visual person. You're a visual person. It's all about vision. It's all about sight. But one of the admonitions against the prophets in the Old Testament is do not prophesy after the seeing of your physical eye. And it's really hard. It's really hard not to shape your spiritual world around the seeing of your own eyes. And so to see with your heart is something I rarely see or hear. I've encountered it here and there, and I feel like the Lord spent a lifetime trying to teach me how to hear and see and experience with my heart, not my physical ears or physical eyes. So if you'll find that, there are two examples and two illustrations. That is Luke 24 and also the Mary Magdalene illustration and John 20. We can turn there in just a minute. We'll read those. So here it is. Father, thank you again for this wonderful day. You're a God of all hearts, and our hearts are large for you. And you're the God that shouts with a great voice. We know that. The scripture says, to some, lift up your eyes and look. We know that. But above all of that, there's much more lying there in the core of who you are, and that is a God of all hearts. So we thank you for the heart of heaven. We thank you for the heart of Christ. Thank you for the heart that you have given us to touch, to feel, to see, to know, to apprehend, to sense. And we thank you that heart issues would be opened up in this room today in Jesus' name. Amen. 1955, I was 5 years old, of course, and I had just been diagnosed with a rheumatic fever, which is a heart murmur. And I was always tired, always exhausted, and didn't know what was wrong with me. And bottom line is, they got me into a medical center in Little Rock, Arkansas, and found out I had a heart murmur and rheumatic fever. My dad was pastoring a little Pentecostal church. To make it short, I was there ministering with him at the time. All of our family ministered together, and beginning as little guys and gals in Dad's church. But there was a church up the street called Forest Hill Pentecostal Church. It was an upgraded church because they actually had a foundation on the church. We only had concrete blocks that our little house sat on. So they had like a super-duper church. They actually had floors. And but it was a small church. But there was a ministry, a prophetic ministry that would come there that Dad talked to us about. And she, I can't remember her name, sister, she, would come there about once a year. And so the bottom line was, the intriguing part about it, was that she was blind. She was born blind at birth. She had never seen light in her days, but she was prophetic and absolutely incredibly accurate in her prophetic gift. And so I had just seen the doctor. I'd just been there, and they diagnosed me. They put me on 10,000 units of penicillin, which I was on for 12 years of my life till I was in my teens. And every day, 10,000 units. And maybe that's what's wrong with me. Anyway, so. But Dad wanted to take me over there because he heard that she was coming. And I'll never forget this. And in the middle of the night, I woke up last night remembering this story. This wasn't a part of what I was going to say, but it was an anchor for a story and illustration in my life. It's something that started me on the journey of pondering about hearing with the heart. And so I walk into this little church. I can smell it and feel it right now as I'm there. And I see this beautiful, probably in her 40s, kind of blondish-looking lady. And I could tell she's completely blind. And she was ministering to people. So they wanted to bring me up. And she would bring people up to her. And they would get 30 feet from her, maybe even 40. And she would instantly know if you were male, female, a little bit. She'd know everything about you. She'd know things. She'd tell you stuff. It was the most amazing thing in the world. Who are people like that today? Anyway, but she was had this amazing prophetic gift, and she had never seen with her physical eyes in her life. She saw with her spirit and her heart. And as I sheepishly walked up to her and my head down, she said, little boy, nobody told her anything about that. She said, little boy, your heart has been attacked. And she said some things to me. I remember her saying, God's hand is upon you in your life. It's all right. And that made a real impact on me. And so I lived for years, decades, pondering whatever happened to her. But more than that, the extraordinary gift that she had to not see with her physical eyes, but could see more than anybody in that building could see. She felt the atmosphere. She sensed. She saw with a heart. And it was just amazingly incredible to me. And it was always in the profile of my thinking way back there and stuck back there, and I'd always thought about it. 1998, I'm in Southern California speaking at a church on Sunday night. And on Sunday night, I'd done some prophetic ministry, and I saw this lady on the back row, and it was just a banner night for words of knowledge. The Lord said two things to me, told me her name, and told me she was blind in her left eye, and God wanted to heal her. Long story short, I called her out. I think her name was Deborah, and I said, are you blind in your left eye? Her pastor, who had brought her there, didn't believe in the things of the Spirit and was coming to check out the prophetic. What a night to come. And he knew she was blind. I didn't know who they were. And so she stood up, and she put her hand over her left eye, and I prayed for her. The bottom line, I'm going to jump forward and jump back. The next morning, she woke up and was completely healed. Her eye was open, her left eye. And she was completely healed, and that church went into a major kind of revival, and she was testifying every day how she went to this place, and God called her out, and God opened her eye, and she was not at all blind in her left eye anymore. Back to that night. As I walked out of the sanctuary that night, 10 minutes after I prophesied over her, my left eye started to act weird. I could see light shimmering. By the next morning, I knew something was wrong, blood vessels I could see in my eye. And I made it to an eye doctor who finally sent me to a neurologist who finally went to one of the best eye doctors, and they flew one in from New York. And they diagnosed me with non-arterial ischemic optic neuropathy. I just spoke in tongues. Non-artery, non-arterial, which was an eye stroke. And it's an eye stroke that happens, a blood clot breaks loose and gets into the vessel of your eye and blocks it, and your cells in your eyes die. And so at that time, I had lost probably 10% of the vision. Within less than a week, I'd lost 90% of the vision in this eye. And even now, when I close it, all I see, I cannot make out anything other than just some vague things, no people's faces. And they told me that this never happens to anybody. They've never seen anybody in their 40s this happen. It happens to people in their 70s and older. And they said, you probably the most unluckiest guy in the world, like you're one out of a billion that this would happen to. And they said, but your right eye's good, so that's good. And they said, if it hits your right eye, you would be like the most unluckiest person. Well, 2 weeks later, my right eye starts doing the same thing. Love, encouragement. So I'll go back, and they said, it's not even stable in your left eye, but your right eye now has optic neuropathy, and there's a stroke in your right eye. And long story short with that one, it was able to stabilize. So my left eye is 90% blind. My right eye, if I look up here, you disappear because I can only see straight, and then it's not the best. So that was a hard thing for me because I had, although I wore glasses for nearsightedness reading as a kid, I had 20/20 vision. And I could sit in the woods in Arkansas squirrel hunting, and 100 yards away I could see a leaf move and know where the squirrels were at. I had amazing movement, a sensory thing going on with me. And I could see, and I was visual. Everything was visual for me. I was an architectural draftsman. I painted. I drew. Everything is all about visuals. I was into visuals. So here I am now, 1998, at 48 years old, and I'm pretty much blind. And I can drive, but I always stopped halfway through an intersection, and I got a lot of cussings, and people said a lot of interesting things to me, and one guy jumped out of the car and ran up because I stopped, but my depth perception's gone. First of all, I shouldn't have been driving, but we drive by faith. I call it by Braille, drive by Braille. And so that Anyway, so I'm halfway in the intersection. The guy jumps out of the car and curses him. Said, "You stupid idiot, are you blind?" I said, "Yeah." Oh, he really got mad then. It's like, oh my goodness. So it took me a while for that. I had to make that transition. Now I'm in prophetic ministry. I'm just reaching the apex of some of my prophetic ministry and around the globe and doing things and prophesying the whole bit. And the Lord's been talking to me since I was a boy about who I am and what I am and how I'm to be sensing things and seeing things and about the whole seeing with the eye. And I always had in the background, in the backdrop of my mind, that woman who was blind but knew everything, could see everything. And so as I am contemplating this, the Lord begins to talk to me. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord did this. I'm not saying the devil did this. I did this. Genetics did this. I don't know. I just know that God's ultimately redemptive. And when it's all over and done, it'll be amazing when we see the whole play and the whole picture. But he takes bad situations and teaches us wonderful things. And, you know, the safe place in life is you don't know what you don't know. I love being there. I love the innocency of you don't know what you don't know, so you don't bugged about it. But the hurtful place in life is to know and not understand what you know. And so I know I'm blind, I don't understand, or I'm going blind. I know I have to function the whole bit. I have prophetic ministry, I have to continue that. I can no longer look at people and no longer see things that really expressions. At that time, my vision's a little better now. But it was very difficult, and I had to really lean into my heart and my senses. And so when people would come for me for ministry, I would have to, I would just close my eyes because it was useless, you know, looking at them. I didn't want to do that anyway. And look over their heads and just see what I see with my heart and say what I say with my heart. That has been a hard journey for me. It's been a hard transition for me, but there's a teaching life moment in it for me in that the seeing of the eye was the indictment against the prophets in the Old Testament that do not prophesy after the seeing of your physical eye. Prophesy after the seeing of your heart. And I think we live in a world of visuals where everything is about visuals and everything is, you know, about how we see things and the human eye and the spectrums that we see it in. And you know what? That's really in my... I don't want to live there, but I'm discovering it's really a small place to live in a visual world. And I know that the human eye is extremely limited. And just to tell you a couple things I know about this, because I know about this because I'm a learner. That's my occupation in life. I learn things, and I'll never stop learning. When I do stop learning, I'll just quit. When I get to heaven, I want to go to school. But I'm a learner, and I know that less than 1% of all light is seen in the visible world. We see less than 1% of visible things, whether it be ultra spectrums or whether it be light, we see less than that. Meaning 99% of the entire electromagnetic spectrum is unseen by the human eye. 99% of electromagnetic spectrum of light and color and things in the atmosphere is unseen. So we're really limited people. We cling to the seeing of our eye. We even love seeing Jesus with our eye, you know, it's like we just have an image of who he is. I mean, it's about seeing. But it's a hard transition to make that transition from seeing with the human eye, which really only sees 1%, to a space seeing with your heart, which can see anything and everything, because the heart is unlimited. So, yes. But 99% of the electromagnetic world is unseen. Atoms. Everything in this room exists by atoms. Multi-trillions of zillions of billions of billions of atoms. We can't see one of them. Quantum particles, which come and go. And quantum physics and quantum particles, the past, the future, and the now exists all together and comes and goes in this room. Gamma rays are in this room, everywhere. We can't see them. Radio waves, X-rays, dark matter, antimatter is everywhere in this room. Air, oxygen's in this room. Have you ever seen it? I have never seen it, but it sustains my life. I could not live without something I can't even see. So Do I have to see it to know it's valuable? Oh no, it's the most valuable thing to keep me alive. If I don't have it, I'm dead, and I've never seen it. I can't perceive it with the human eye. Ultraviolet light in this room. Gravity. We can measure it, and you can measure gravity levels, but you can never see it. Have you ever seen gravity? But have you ever experienced being on a gravity, the bad end of a gravity bomb? Gravity exists. Infrared. Our mind. Have you ever seen your thoughts? Well, they exist. There's chemical reactions that are happening in your brain, and thoughts are happening. Things are happening around you. Air. Have you ever seen oxygen? Have you ever seen air? I haven't, but it's responsible for me living, for my life to be extended. So the unseen is the most real thing that we can't really see. Gravity. We can measure it. You can measure gravity, but no one's ever seen gravity. But we know, according to Newton, that it's real. Gravity is real. Mind thoughts, the chemical reactions in the brain. We can't see it, but we know it's there. Emotions. When the brain reacts to feelings. Gosh. Less than 5%, scientists say, of the entire universe is observable by human beings. We see through a glass darkly. And 5% of the entire universe, only 5% is observable by human eyes, much less the spiritual world. We're flying blind anyway. I love sight, but sometimes eyesight and natural sight stands in the way of knowing and seeing what's really in this world. And once that's ever taken from us, that is the limitations of the natural world with the human eye, and we get to see and feel what is really there, we're going to be so blown out of the water. It's going to take an eternity to see everything. It's going to be amazing. The openness and the sensitivity of your heart will determine what you really do see and the scope of what you see, not your natural eye. And one of the biggest mistakes I have made, perhaps you have made, is seeing and living by your natural eye. There is a spiritual awareness. There's something God has put in us. There's a sensory, spiritual chemistry that God has placed in us that lets us sense and see a universe that we can't sense and see, somewhere we're going, and when we get there, we're going to look back and think, what kind of darkness were we living in? And I just, this week, have been smitten with that. And I've been saying, Lord, I don't know how to see with my heart, but please spend a lifetime of trying to figure this out, because seeing with the natural eye is so limiting. And I just want to share a couple of illustrations, examples, to Ellie especially, of seeing with the heart. Luke 24, 13 through 35. Two men were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that was happening. And while they were talking, to discussion these things, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes did not recognize him. Wow. And he said to them, what are you conversating about? And what are you talking about? Verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted like he was going to go further, but they urged him to stay. That's just a side. It's interesting how the Lord wants you to woo him. He acted like he was going to go further, hoping they would be hungry enough to ask him to stay. By the way, the Lord just doesn't arbitrarily just come and visit you. He waits to see if you're hungry enough and desperate enough to invite him in. And they urged him strongly, saying to him, when he acted like he was going to go further, stay with us, for the day is far spent. So they went in to stay with him, and he went with them. And it was at their table, he broke bread and blessed it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were open. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said this, did not our hearts see, or did not our hearts burn while he talked to us, while he opened the scripture? Example 2, John 20 and 11, Mary Magdalene. Verse 11, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. This is when Jesus was crucified and put into a tomb. And as she was stooped over, she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laid, one on the head, one on the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, they have taken away the Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying, and who are you looking for? And thinking he was the gardener, wow, what a misperception. She said, sir, if you have carried Jesus or him away, tell me where you put him, and I will go get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She heard with her heart. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me in this present form. For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go instead to your brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And the implications were in an invisible place. I don't know how to roll this out. I don't know how to say or embellish on what was already said in Scripture here. But in both of these illustrations, both of these examples, there was a seeing with the heart that happened. And it happened in the book of Luke on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. It happened as they sat down at the table and they invited this person they were talking to. They didn't even know it was the Lord. How much of what we sense and see, we don't even know that it's the Lord because we can't perceive in that realm. And as he sat down to eat with them, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to them. And when he did, their eyes were open. In other words, they had perception. They were aware of who he was because they could see. They could not see before. So it was in the fellowship. It was in the breaking of bread. It was in the invitation of the Lord coming into their sphere of being that the Lord revealed himself to him and to them. And their eyes were open. And they said to each other, I said this before, did not our hearts burn with us when he talked to us? I don't even know how to say what I want to say today because it's unsayable, because it's unsealed. But the unseen world is greater than the seen world, and we live in a partial world of darkness where what we see with the natural eye is but 1/1,000,000,000% of what exists out there, from gamma rays to ultra rays to atoms to quantum particles to radio waves to x-rays, dark matter, gravity, which we can measure but we can't see. The things that are real we can't see, we can barely even measure. So what kind of a world am I living in? I'm having to rethink this. I'm living in what I thought was a very alive visual world when in fact it's probably the darkest place I could ever live. And when that day comes, when I make a transition, you make a transition to another world, where the universe is seen and all of its ultraviolet rays and heaven is seen and Jesus and things that, my gosh, the revelation of the kingdom of God will be millennials trying to see it all. Be amazing. But right now, we live in 5% of the entire universe is observable to the human eye. 5%, and that's just the natural, not including the spiritual realm. We are really in, as the scripture said, the whole world lieth in darkness. I don't even know how to say this. The openness and the sensitivity of your heart will determine the scope of how you see. I don't know how to see with my eyes anymore. I don't know how to discern. I don't know if it's the Lord unless I'm in fellowship with him. I don't know like Mary Magdalene is the Lord until I hear with my heart my name spoken. I don't know. My eyes are deceptive. My eyes deceive me. My religious eyes deceive me. That's why Jesus healed so many people in their blindness. But he couldn't heal the worst blindness, which is the religious Pharisees' blindness. And they could see. And Jesus said, you have eyes to see, but you really can't see. So we live in a world where we think we can see, but we really don't see. We see things in such a minute spectrum of what it really is that we have no understanding of the world that lies around us. It's unseeable. It would blow our minds. It would kill us. A third example. In Genesis 28, you don't have to turn there, but Jacob. You remember that? And Jacob, he dreamed, and he saw a ladder coming down from heaven, and he woke up from that dream, and he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't even know it. Wow. He didn't see in the natural, he saw through a dream. On the Emmaus Road, they saw through fellowship. Mary Magdalene was able to understand who the Lord was because he spoke to her. It was through sound that she saw. So seeing with the natural eye is really overrated. Really overrated. Because we make opinions with the natural eye and we're judgmental with the natural eye and we see what God said not to do to the prophets. Do not prophesy after the seeing of your eye because your eyes will deceive you. I'm not downplaying the beauty of sight, but I'm saying human sight and our sight and the way we see things, the way we even see things with our understanding with our natural eyes, are such so adverse to the spiritual sight that awaits us, partially in this life, but in a magnificent way in the next life. And what we will do is we will look back after this life is over into this world and say, the Lord was in this place every area of my life. Angels. In this room right now, there's an altar universe. There are angels in this room. They're coming and going. There are TV, radio waves, spiritual waves, all kinds of waves, subatomic particles that come and go. Quantum physics is happening in this room, which is the future, the past, and the present sort of intermingled. There's a universe happening in this room. The presence of God is in this room. Demons are somewhere out there. Spiritual angels. Stuff is happening around us. We are flying blind in this life. And I prayed since 1998, God, heal my I want to see. And I don't want to offend you. I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but it's taken all this time for the Lord to say, if I would have healed your natural eyes, you would have never, ever been able to see what I want you to see. Because we tend to look and judge and live and walk with the Lord after the seeing of our natural eye, which is so limited. Jacob said when he woke up, he said, the Lord is in this place. I didn't know it. He knew it through a dream. He didn't see it through the natural eye. Through a dream. He saw a ladder coming and going. And he said, this is the house of God. This place that I'm at is the gate of heaven. I have been prayed for by the best of the best of the best, the most of the most of the most, fasting and prayer are groups, and I appreciate that, and I wish my vision was healed, but it never has been. And I don't know if it ever will, but I do know one thing. I'm starting to see in a way that I've never seen before, and I'm living in a time and space capsule in this life. It's so minutely insignificant in the sense of what it sees and what it hears because it is such a retarded, if I can say it, way of perception. That's seeing and hearing with the physical eye and the hearing of the ear. If I could see, and if you could see in this room what's really happening right now, with all the stuff that's happening in the air and the whole spiritual world merging together, I tell you what, it would blow your mind. You wouldn't leave this place. You wouldn't leave, everywhere you go, it would be there. There's a whole universe that's not waiting to happen. Heaven is not waiting to happen. Heaven is happening right now in this room. I'm not waiting to go somewhere. Somewhere is waiting for me to come there now. I don't have to die to go there. It's here. I don't mean, don't misinterpret what I said. I'm not waiting for the second coming of Christ. I'm waiting to recognize his coming and his being in here right now. There will be a second coming, but before there's a second coming, there needs to be a first coming. And I'm waiting and looking for Christ. I'm looking for the things of the Spirit of God, but I can't find them because I've been looking after the natural eye and the natural eye of my understanding. I'm trying to understand them in that way, and it is impossible. So, as a child, I used to close my eyes. I was intuitive, I guess. I did this as a game all the time. I would close my eyes, not knowing that my vision would be so limited in my older years, at 68 now. It was just intuitive, I guess. I would close my eyes and practice what it would be like to not see, but still be able to feel and touch the world around me. And I would spend hours a day as a 6 or 7 year old, 10 year old boy, and I would close my eyes and I would look at a tree and I would walk to that tree and try to sense how close it was to the tree, sense the things, open my eyes to see if I was right or not. I did that all the time. I acted like I was blind all the time because I had a hunger to see beyond the natural. I'm not saying needing to go blind to see, but for whatever reason, most of my sight was taken because I prayed all the time, night and day, for years, God, let me see. Lord, I want to see. I want to see the kingdom. I want to see what you see. I didn't know that I couldn't see that with a natural eye. The physical eye can see only a small sliver of the physical world, which is 1 billionth of a billionth of a millionth of a trillionth particle of what is really around us. So open my eyes, Lord, doesn't mean you get to see in the natural. It means that you get to see with your heart. And seeing with your heart is so difficult because your natural vision speaks louder than your heart because we've not exercised our heart to feel and to see and to sense with our heart. And again this morning, I thought about this precious lady who I can't remember her name, who laid hands on me more than once as a little boy who was blind from birth and told me incredible things. She saw everything about my life. And I would go home at night as a little boy and lie down and think, that's amazing. She can't see like us, but she can see better than us. And I don't know what I need to say about this, other than to say, all the things we've been waiting to see, stop waiting to see it. You don't need to see it with your natural eye. We need, as the body of Jesus Christ, to learn to start seeing with our heart. When you see with your heart, it never fails because love never fails, heart never fails. Seeing with your heart, the heart of Christ, you can never misperceive. You can never see something wrong when you see with the heart of Christ. Seeing with your heart is sensing another world that can't be seeable with the physical eye. It is the nexus to the next world. It is the link. It is something that if we don't experience in this life, we will in the next life, we're going to be blown away when we look back and see what Paul said, the whole world lieth in darkness. That's why Jesus is called the bright and morning star and the day star. That's why the scripture said, may the sun, the S-U-N of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. I don't know what I'm trying to say this morning or what I need to say this morning, but I just had this thing in my heart to admonish you to stop putting all your chips in the basket of I'll know it when I see it, I'll do it when I see it, or the way I perceive it, and learn to make the transition to see with your heart. We know how to feel with our heart, but we don't know how to see with our heart. But non-arterial ischemic optic neuropathy opened a window to me for a world that I would have never have seen that's different than the way I see. And it's a world that God lives in. And even then, I can see 100th of a billionth percent of the moment that I'm in. It was said of the two men on the Emmaus Road, their eyes did not recognize the Lord. I'm ending here because I don't even know where I'm lost. Because I don't know how to talk to seeing people. Said their eyes couldn't perceive him. They couldn't recognize him. The Lord himself was there and they couldn't see him. I suspect, I'm afraid, that the truth is the Lord is present and we know it not. Because we have framed religion around physical seeing, our vision, seeing our visions even, not even visions. Jacob said, the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. Right now, in this moment, I don't care what you're going through, what you see with your natural eye, the Lord is in this place, and you don't know it. When you go home, the Lord is in that place, but you're flying blind. The scripture says, open my eyes. Ephesians says that the eyes of your, didn't say physical eyes. I pray, God, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which is the riches of the saints of the inheritance of life. What is he who has set him above principalities and powers and mights and dominions? We don't see this. We see it after our understanding. Above principalities and powers and everything that exists. And he has made him to be head of the church, even the body, he that filleth all in all. And you has he embraced and filled with hope. That is not visual. The gospel is not visual. Ministry is not visual. Having an experience with God is just not visual. Paul said, I pray desperately, urgently, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He didn't pray for your natural sight. He said of the Pharisees, and having seen, they are blind. They have 20/20 vision, but the trappings of religion have kept them from really seeing what's important. Never trust your eyes, but if your heart is synced and anchored in Christ, always trust your heart. First impressions are important if they're in the spirit, because your eyes will tell you something different than your heart tells me. And when I prophesy, minister to people in the past, I was in conflict all the time. Do I prophesy after the seeing of my eye or the feeling of my heart? It's riskier, the feeling of your heart, because the seeing of your eye, it's amazing how you can see things on people. Or you can see things in the spirit. I'm talking even good things or God things. I don't mean weird stuff, but like God stuff and visions and things on them. People, I saw this angel around you. I saw that. That's true. That's real. That's all right. That's still not seeing with the heart. Everything we've been waiting for to see has already been here. Quantum physics says that's smaller than atoms, which, by the way, we are made of, and this room exists of trillions of billions and zillions of billions of them, and we've never seen one of them, but we wouldn't be able to stand here without them. Everything that's important we can't see. Only the least important things we get to see. So God, quantum physics says, at times things appear and disappear. There could be a merger of the past and the future and the present are happening all at the same time right now in this room. That's why, because God lives in the realm of quantum physics. He, it is he that was and is yet to come in one space. We're one-dimensional and painfully one-dimensional as believers, as human beings. That's why Paul said, God, how long must I suffer this wretched body? How long must I live in this limited body? Oh, wretched man that I am, deliver me from the limitations of this human body. Only one time. You know why he prayed that? Because he got the taste of what I'm talking about. He said, I know a man once who was caught up into heaven and saw things, not with his natural eye, but he saw in the spirit. He couldn't even utter with a human language. There was no language to convey what he saw with his heart. And from that moment forward, this great apostle talked about the opening of his eyes and the seeing of the things of God and how that he, like the others, Jesus said to the religious people of this day, the most blind people are those that see the best. Thank God for our precious sight, our eyesight. We get to see each other. But listen, I am no longer praying for revival. I'm no longer praying for the presence of the Lord. I'm no longer praying for the Lord here. Listen, God is in this place. God is in your life. God is in this world, and you know it not. Because you're not seeing with your heart. You're seeing with a religious eye. You're seeing with that moment of limit where you break through the barrier of the natural into the supernatural. And you've done that where you see something in the spirit, you go, wow, I'm not talking about that. That's legitimate. That happens now and then. But can we live there? I don't know. Can. I don't think in one lifetime there's no way, because it's pre-grammar to spiritual life. I don't know. What's it going to look like in the years to come in your life, in my life, what God's doing in the earth? Here's what you got to understand. I just got to reset, and I'm going to stop. Reset our theology. It's not going to look like what you think is coming. What you think is coming has already came. 2,000 years ago, the fullness of that came. And the day of Pentecost, it already happened. So what has already happened, we're trying to see 2,000 years later, because we're not living in the now of our heart. We're living in a mind space, not a heart space. We're living in a natural vision, which is probably the most limited, primitive way of ever perceiving anything. We're trying to live there as believers who are called to live with the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. There is no seeing like seeing with the heart. I'm going to sound really weird. But I woke up last night in the middle of the night. We have a dog named Oswald. And he's Laura's dog. He tolerates me. I've said to her many times, if one of us are drowning, I can't swim. And it will make no difference. She can. It didn't matter. He'd step over me to save her. And not that I've been offended about that at all. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw him with my heart, and I was weeping last night. How much I loved this dog, not from a visual. And then he's going to be taken from me. He's 12 years old or 13 years old now. He's Laura and I's only baby, although I'd like to spank him anyway. Now and then, but she lets him get away with stuff. And I woke up, I know that sounds weird, but I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw him with my heart. Every life is precious to God. I don't care if it's the life of a little bird. I don't care if it's the bug that I push out the door instead of crushing. I know I'm sounding weird, but the older I get, the more I value things that we don't understand, and things we don't see or hear or understand their existence. And I saw how, by my heart, not by the seeing of my eyes or my ear, I saw how important in my heart that little dog was to God. And I woke up and I thought, how come I can't see how important I am? Because I know, and you know you're there with me, because we struggle all the time for confidence. We struggle for our place of feeling embraced by God. But the world we live in lies in darkness, and the wicked one, evil one, keeps us blinded. Even though we have Christ in our life, who should be the light of our life, we are in the entrapment of religion, entrapment of our own thought process, and trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out what we can't see with our heart. You'll never do it. And if you can see it with your heart, you probably won't even be able to explain it or have a theology or a doctrine, so stop it. And I saw, I saw him, and I saw with my heart this little life that has got a few more years with us, and it's going to be hard. But I saw the way God saw him. And I was just crushed this morning. It's like, I know if he loves the birds of the air, the scripture says he does, how much more? If the Heavenly Father takes care of the birds of the air and loves, how much more does he love you? Why can't I, as a ministry, as a man that's lived all my life in ministry, why can't I believe God loves me more than that little dog. Because I have never seen Corinthians 8 with my heart, only with my eyes. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we live in the visuals of our mistakes and the visuals and the understanding of our shortcomings instead of the grace of our heart of God that talks to us with his heart and sees us with his heart. So I woke up this morning thinking, God, I prayed. No, I couldn't come up with the words. I don't even know. I'm not begging. I'm not asking. I'm not. But remove the veil away from my eyes. Remove the veil from believers' eyes, from the world, from our. Remove it so God is in this world and we know it not. He's in our house and we know it. He's in our animals. We know it not. He's in our space. We know it not. What is it about the spirit of religion that has made us blind? We should be seeing greater because the greater one, the light of the world, lives in us. And he does. It's just that he is masked. It's just that there is a curtain drawn that God wants to unveil. But if you think you're going to get there by the seeing of your eye and the understanding of your brain, although you need a good brain, if you think that, you'll die in the shadows of religion and never see the kingdom with your heart. And my prayer for this nation, my prayer for this church, my prayer for you, my prayer for me is no longer for God to do something. He sat down at the right hand of the Father and said, now behold, I give unto you all the power. What are we expecting God to do? And Jesus said, it is finished. 2,000 years later, we're still trying to get him to finish the finish. We're still expecting something to come that in quantum physics has already been there, for it's where he lives, that in this, that's where atoms appear and can disappear without, at any time, the mixing of worlds and time and space. So what are we missing? What has happened to us other than a measure of religion like the Pharisees has crept in to our lives and blindness has overtaken us? And having eyes to see, as Paul said, we see not. Paul was so distraught with this phenomena that he cried out in Philippians, oh Lord, he said, I so desire to go to be with the Father because my heart, not my mind, not my eyesight, my heart cries, Abba, Father. I see something with my heart. I see a kingdom with my heart that says, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. I see with my heart and I so want to go there, but I can't because my mama has need of me, the church. I prayed that prayer, but I feel this sense that my mother needs me. I said, I don't think she knows she does. The church I'm talking about. Paul said, I was in the middle of not knowing what to do. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go where I can see because my heart is crying out, Abba, Father. I want to. He saw God with his heart and he wanted to be there. But he said, but I can't. Because I'm more needful at this moment here. So you and I are not going here where right now because it's more needful that we be here, as Paul said. But while we're here, why don't we learn something? You do not want to walk out of this visual, limited world into a spiritual, unlimited world and 10 seconds after you die and have to head on, see, and deal with something you never even knew or experienced or were a friend of in your life. Heaven will not be what you think it's going to be. It will be exceedingly far above what you could ever imagine or dream or taste or think. What do you think about the scripture, which used to irritate me, taste of the Lord and see if he be not good? I can. There's times when I can taste spiritual things. I can smell spiritual things. Because I'm learning to not live after the dictates of my physical senses because they're so limited. Oh, does God want to do something in this church? Does God want to do something in your life? Does God want to do something in this nation, something in the world? That's not the right question. He's already done something 2,000 years ago. The question is, do we want to open our hearts to God doing in us what has already happened? We're trying to catch up with Him. He's not trying to catch up with us. If you're waiting on the Lord, you've already missed it. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. God is light. If you think you're waiting on 186,000 miles a second God, you're really messed up. Because that's faster than you. The church has been waiting for 2,000 years for God to do something that's already been done. But the blindness of religion keeps us with a false hope of something that's going to happen after the seeing of the eye. So, whatever or wherever you're at, whatever you need, whatever you think you need, it's already there. God's in your place, and you don't know it. It's distressing to me to have that kind of weightiness over me, and I can't even sense it. So here's the, I'm going to end with this. Here's the safety of what I have left behind that I long to go back to like a child would do, but I can't. You don't know what you don't know, so it doesn't matter. So your life is wonderful. If you don't know what you don't know, you're not accountable. You don't even have a concept. But the painful part of life is knowing something but not understanding it. That's why I got an hour and a half sleep last night. I'm trying to understand. Help me to understand with my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding that I might see. What is the hope of His calling? What is the riches of His inheritance of the saints in light? What is the greatness of His power which He wrought in Christ Jesus and raised Him from the dead and seated me in heavenly places? In my vision, I'm with you. In my heart, I'm seated with Christ. I'm not going to heaven. I'm already there. I just haven't. That light just hasn't got to my physical senses yet. That's why my wonderful friend Bill Johnson said, always, that's his whole message, is I don't want to go anywhere. Heaven come down. God saw Israel in Genesis and their strife and their trouble. And the scripture says, and God came down to help them. 2,000 years ago, God came down, and we're living in this stalemate, in-between place of trying to figure out and work it out when all we've ever needed has already been done. We're just trying to perceive it the wrong way. So I want to pray for you and us, that Ephesians scripture of Paul, I pray the Lord God might open the eyes of your understanding. Not your physical eyes. You'll never do more than 20/20 vision, and it won't make you any more spiritual to have it. Matter of fact, it's probably harmful to you because you'll start prophesying over the seeing of your eye and reading expressions on people's faces or the way they look, and that's really leads you to unshaky prophetic ground. Because with the seeing of the heart, you call things that are not as though you not see them, as though they are. It's risky, it takes faith. It's a strange world, but it's one you've got to prepare for. So I want to pray Ephesians for you. And ask God to help us to live in the now and to open the eyes of our heart. And some sensitivity of our heart so that we really can see for the first time. None of this I said has to do with whether you're going to heaven or hell. We've already bought the ticket. My ticket's punched. But I asked God as a little boy, I asked God as a man, I don't want to live this life and get through it without understanding, with my heart, without knowing why. You never know why with your eyes or with your head. You only know why with your heart. So, Father, we thank you that everything that we need, everything that we're looking for, everything that we think is going to happen has already happened and is happening around us. In this room, in this space, there are angels coming and going. They're cherubs. They're guardian angels. They're mighty angels. They're coming and going. In the spirit realm, there are clouds of witnesses around us, and we can't see them because we're blind to that world. What I'm asking you, Lord, is not to see them. We have overvalued seeing the spiritual world with a physical eye, which is a lawful, Paul said anyway. You can't even, it's illegal to even try to, unlawful to even explain it. We can't do that. I'm asking that you open the eyes of our heart that we can see. Open the eyes of our understanding. Bring openness and sensitivity to our heart so that we can see what's around us, that we can see God is in this place until this moment. We never even knew it. We're waiting. Well, that was anointing. Well, that was anointing. Well, that was a good service. What does that have to do with anything? God is in this place, has been in this place, and when you come and go and eons of ages come and go and generations pass, God will still be in this place. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not waiting for revival. He is one. So, Lord, I pray that our eyes of our heart be open and that we know that we know that we know. As the Greeks came to Philip and Andrew and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And they didn't mean visually. And Jesus said to them, if you really want to see me, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls in the ground and die and gives up its life, it springs forth. What he was saying to them was, you can never really see with your heart or see me until you die like I died. I died to the physical world so that I could live in a spiritual world. So, Father, that passage, those inquiring Greeks who were slammed in the face, one of the greatest revelations of its time, I want to see Jesus. They said, we want to see him. And your reply was, unless you die, you cannot see me. So something in us has to die to see. So the desire and the hope that we can see with our physical eyes what's already happening in the spiritual world has to die so that we can truly see what is with our heart, to embrace what's already happening. The future is already our past. The future already lives right now, right here. I'm tired of waiting for what is already here. We're tired of looking for what is always present. We're tired of searching for God instead of finding God. I'm done searching for God. Help me find him. You're in my heart, you're in our heart, you're in our lives, you're in this place, you're in the city, you're in this nation, you're in this universe, you're in this world. All things are permeated by the spectacular expression of the God of the universe who's unexplainable and beyond words. And in our little world of trying to figure it out and to see it and trying to rationalize it as an affront against the God of all hearts. So open our hearts, open our eyes to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That the things that are unseen are the real things, Hebrews says. For the things you see are temporal, but the things which are unseen by the human eye are eternal. Shift our seeing from our eyes to our heart, Lord, so that we not only see temporal things, but with our heart we see eternally. And Lord, I pray that we change instead of asking you to change something. For you change not. Your scripture says you change not. We're not waiting on God you're 2,000 years now patiently waiting on us to receive what has already been given. We are not looking for revival. Open our hearts to the revival that's been happening since God said, let there be light. Let heaven come to earth and keep us from trying to get to heaven before we're ready. Let your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. And Lord, we pray in this whole place, this whole region, this whole earth, that the darkness be rolled back. The understanding of the Lord, of wisdom, break out like the sun from behind, the eclipse of the moon, and the shadows we've been living in will fall away. And we will say, like Paul said, but we see Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. We apologize to you for insulting you to do something for us that you've already done. We see, but we're blind. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. Let us awake from our sleep like Jacob and say, the Lord is in this place. I perceived it not. I was unaware. Thank you, Lord. The Lord awakened me this morning when I woke after an hour and a half sleep, and I saw two women in this church I want to say something to. I want you to stand up when I call your name. I want you to stand up without reservation. Candace Coffey and Tanya Tiger. I want you to stand up, usually on this side and this side. Just want you to stand up quickly. And it was said of Mary Magdalene, she went into the place that the Lord's body was at, and there were two angels sitting there. And she was sobbing and she's saying, I can't seem to find what I'm looking for. My heart is tugging at me. I'm looking for my Lord, but I can't find him. Where is he at? And she heard a voice behind her say, Mary, which means beloved of God. She didn't see something, she heard something. And she thought it was the gardener. She didn't know the Lord was there. And Mary turned and he said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, teacher. And he embraced her. But he said, don't cling to me. And by the way, for everybody here, when you see with your visual eye like she did, the Lord says, don't cling to, don't stick. I've got to go to an unseen place. Go tell everybody else that you did see me, but you can't see me like this all the time. So I want to say to you too, when I woke up thinking about Mary Magdalene, as she was saying, where have you seen him? I saw you two weeping in your soul, in your spirit, in your heart. On some level of feeling like you're in a cocoon, you're trying to break through, your heart wants to touch something, you want to embrace something, you don't know how. You're at this intersection, you're trying to reach, and your soul is weeping, saying, I want to see him whom I've loved. Who has taken him? And I heard the Lord say to both of you, Mary. There's something about seeing with a sound. You're seeing through sound, and God's calling your name, all of our names, but I just felt you two this morning. He's calling your names. And she saw him. She thought he was the gardener, but when he called her name, she knew it was Christ. So what you thought is not what it really is. And God is going to give you a divine embrace and open your heart, your understanding to the membrane and the barrier that you've been pressing against, like Mary Magdalene, weeping over something that you can't get to, something that you can't embrace, something that you hunger for from the Lord. And all the time he's standing behind you, calling your name. You're going to make a quantum leap. You're going to break through vision, breakthrough experience in your life in the coming months this year. And God's going to cause you to start seeing with your hearts. And you're just a prototype of all the other women in this room who have the same experience. I could have stood every one of them up. For whatever reason, God highlighted you two to me. You're a prototype for that. So Lord, we bless them. And if you're around them, I want you to reach out and touch them. Because I saw both of them weeping in their soul. Lord, where are you in all this? Where are you? Reach out and touch them. Put your hands upon them. Don't pray to see a vision. Pray that they hear the Lord call them. Mary. She saw him but didn't recognize him, but only recognized him when she heard his voice call her name. He identified her from all others. So Lord, call their names. And we bless them. In Jesus' name. I know this is a strange service. I'm a strange man. The blind people are weird. I'm not blind completely. I still drive. God help the world. But I have Geico. And we want to bless Sorry, I'm trying to step back. It's just, in that world, there's no time or space, and it's really hard to cram it in. But come on up here. Hey, hon, you're up. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. We want to speak a blessing. Before I did that, I was just waiting for a space for anything else God wanted to say to someone. But he wants to say anything to everybody. You want a word from God? They're in this atmosphere everywhere. They're falling like rain on you. You just got to see it and hear it with your heart. But in the physical world, we do things too. And Chad and Paige Collins have been called to move on to a job relocation. And Texas, of all places. And we want to bless them this morning. Although they're in transition, Chad's already working there and in the process of moving down to Austin, city limits. And we just want to bless them. We want to send them out. They're already blessed, but we want to add the blessing of the Lord to them. And if you could come up this morning, I want you to come up and not face you two. Come up here and face the congregation too here. And we'll come around in just a minute. Just come in and face. We want to bless you. And face. Because I want you to see their faces, and I want you to bless them. And their comings. And their goings. And Lord, I speak a blessing over them, over the Collinses. And I prophesy after the seeing of my heart, that you shall enlarge their place, the place of their heart, the place of the understanding. You shall enlarge their destiny and their purpose. Because the word the Lord gave me for you too this morning was enlarge. He is going to enlarge. He's going to stretch your tent. He's going to put the stakes out further and stretch the ropes, as the Old Testament talks about. He's going to stretch your tent. He's going to enlarge your place. And you are in the process of God doing with you what he did with David. And it said, and David cleared ground and made ground ready for the ark of the Lord, for the house of the Lord. And God is clearing ground in your life. And you are clearing ground in your life for change and something, because there is an enlargement coming. And David knew that as he cleared this, that the ark of the presence of the Lord was coming. And as this move is happening, it's the beginning of steps in your life of clearing a path for something larger, something out of the scope of what you know or think right now for happen to you. For great is the Lord blessing upon your life. And you shall increase and keep increasing. And you shall expand to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back. Opportunities shall come and go, and you shall say, Lord, which one? And he shall say to you, whichever one you want to pick. Because the Lord is going to start entrusting decisions to your heart in a greater capacity. And the hunger for understanding that you both have, and the hunger to know that you both have, God is going to fill with the knowledge of God, as the scripture says. A little here, a little there, step by step, precept upon precept, God is going to begin to build. And the building stones of a foundational thing God has begun in your life is going to be erected, and the wall of the fortress of the God is coming up around you. And you're going to be able to say, like Jacob said, both of you, God was in this place that I'm going, and this place where I've been, and this place that I don't even know about, and the place where I'm going to. God is in these places, and I didn't know it. God is going to cause you to know it. So, Lord, we bless them, and we bless them with the knowledge of knowing that the angel of the Lord goes before you, Paige and Chad, to prepare the way before you. So the angels are not following you there. They're there waiting on you. Angels await at the point of your destination and destiny for your arrival. So as you arrive there, there's already place prepared. And so as you arrive there, you will find the pieces of the puzzle that you've been wondering and wanting and trying to figure out start to come together. And you will say, wow, God was more in all the stuff in our life than we knew, and we didn't really know it. And I'll say to you in the blessing, may the hand of the Lord be upon you in every place that your foot steps, like Abraham and like Sarah, everywhere that you went, everywhere that you go, everything you put your hands to. May you be blessed in the city. May you be blessed in the country. May you be blessed in the field. May you be blessed in your home. May you be blessed in the things that you possess. May the blessing of the Lord overtake you. And that overtaking of the blessing of the Lord surrounds you, and may you multiply and grow in the understanding of what it means to see with your heart and to live life with your heart and to live a heartfelt, purposeful life for the kingdom of God, for something that is here that you're uncovering. So you're on a exploration, diamond hunt, gold hunt. The only thing you have to do is dig, and you will find. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we bless them. In Jesus' name, I'll lay hands on you. We're going to end, and I want you to come forth if you want to and just bless them, just touch them and bless them. I want them to feel our heart and the touch of our hands, a blessing upon their lives. Lord, we bless these two. We bless